Well, we're mixing up a little bit thanks to Thanksgiving coming up on a Thursday. Brian Haney will be with us today on a Tuesday. The Voice of the Jayhawks brought to you every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. And I'm just going to apologize up front here. If you hear Brian huffing and a puffing, he is doing this interview while he's on the elliptical or treadmill, working off lots of calories that he's going to put on when he eats like everybody else on Thursday, right?
Yes, advanced planning, absolutely. You get that caloric deficit of about 4 grand, so you can take out 4 grand more on Thursday. I like it.
How's your foot or your toe? Didn't you say you dropped a weight on it a few weeks ago?
I did, yeah. Good, thank you for asking. That was about 4 weeks ago, and it's still giving me fits, but that's what I get for being clumsy in the gym, you know?
Well.
But now I'm doing good, just getting through No Sleep November. And we got one more week of double duty here with basketball and football on top of each other. 3 games, 2 Hawk Talks, but a ton of fun throughout. And hopefully we'll see football finish the season on a high note, whether it results in a win or not on Saturday in Stillwater. You'd love to have a good showing. I feel like they had that last year in the season finale at K-State. They didn't win, but they played within 2 scores, and really felt like that was an uptick to close out the year. And you'd love to see something similar, if not in a winning fashion, coming up on Saturday. And obviously we got hoops tonight with Texas Southern rolling in, Mike Davis coach team, the former Indiana head coach. So busy this week with KU hoops, but certainly excited about that. Pumped to be heading to Miami here next week for the Syracuse game.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. We appreciate you playing hurt the last 4 weeks and getting it done on the radio. And and I tell you what, man, I'm just going to jump in the deep end right off the bat. Of course, we're all well aware of as some people would call it, a fiasco or embarrassing, I've heard, disappointing, I've heard, from both sides. I mean, I have friends that are Oklahoma fans out here. I have very close friends that are KU fans. And I was talking with one the other day, in fact, yesterday, and I asked him, I said, what was more embarrassing to you as a KU fan? And I said, is it 21 yards of total offense at TCU in a primetime game? Or what the captains decided to do at midfield for the pregame coin toss against Oklahoma. And he said, without a doubt, he is more embarrassed and disappointed with the way things shook out on Saturday against Oklahoma. I think there are probably quite a few KU fans that feel that way. And I guess I'm going to present my take on it real quick, and then I'd like to get yours, Brian. And I know you're certainly closer to the situation, and you're close to the players, and you're not going to throw any of them under the bus, and I certainly am not going to do that either. I guess the thing for me was that two wrongs don't make a right, and what Baker did I thought was even more classless than what KU did at the beginning of the game. But at the same time, you know, there's a couple kids that are there at midfield during the coin toss. That didn't look good when they refused to shake the hand of the Oklahoma captains. David Beatty didn't come out and apologize after the game. It didn't come until yesterday where we got the real formal apology, whereas Baker Mayfield did apologize. So did Lincoln Riley after the game on Saturday. And I guess I'm personally a little bit disappointed from that standpoint, that there probably should have been an apology from either Coach Beatty or the players or from somebody at the university before yesterday. Is that fair? All right, welcome back to the Sports Ticket. We have Brian back on the line. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. And as we were saying, I just ended the question about all the things that happened on Saturday, and I asked if that was fair for KU fans to be disappointed and embarrassed about what transpired. And you were starting to say people that you talked to close to David Beatty. So we'll pick up there.
Yeah, sorry about that. That wasn't me ducking the question. I apologize. We found a landline. I think we'll be good for the next 15 minutes now. For whatever reason, I get on campus and our cell phones just get cut out and get wonky. But it was a situation expressed to me that you know Coach Beatty has roughly 7 or 8 minutes between when he gets to the locker room and when it's time for him to start making his way up to the media room there. And in that time had not had a chance to fully sit down and get face-to-face with each of the 3 captains and get to the bottom of, okay, whose idea was this? What was the motivation behind this? Where were you coming from? And when he got up in front of the lights and the cameras and all that, I think initially he talked about, hey, these are my guys. I back my guys. It's a disappointing act. But, you know, he wasn't as strong in how disgusted he was on Saturday night as he was then Monday morning and Monday night on Hawk Talk. I thought he did a really good job in both of those statements once he'd had a chance to fully vet the situation and see where they were coming from. Because I know in talking to both him and Coach Bowen, the defensive coordinator, neither of them saw this coming at all, had no idea that this was going to happen. And it was a really huge surprise given who it involved, because Joe Dineen, he could win a national award this year on the All Good Works team for what he does in the community. Daniel Wise is a guy that for the last 2 or 3 years has frequently gone into local elementary schools reading stories to kids, and Dorrance equally involved in community endeavors. And so these are probably three of your best citizens away from football. They're also three of your most fierce competitors on the field. And, you know, as the story goes to me, I think there was something that happened long before Saturday that had irked them to the point where they wanted to make a statement that you're not going to come into our house and push us around and talk to us like that. And they were just trying to do something that would fire up their sideline and kind of draw that line in the sand from the get-go that that this was not going to be a day where they would come in and be whipped. And unfortunately, you know, these 22-year-old kids that thought they had this great idea probably didn't think it through, you know, to the lengths that you would have hoped, because that's not what we preach around here with Kansas Athletics. That's not the type of sportsmanship or citizenship that we come to expect out of our student athletes, especially not these three, who are three of the finest ambassadors that we have going for us with KU football. I just think it was one of those things that in their minds they didn't realize it would be that big of a deal. And then obviously it got blown up even more, like throwing, you know, gasoline on a fire, right, when Baker clearly was frustrated and let his emotions spill over in the fashion that he did over the course of the game, and then it just got amplified all the more. So disappointing deal on both sidelines for sure, and yet I think Coach Beatty really handled it well on Monday. And if that was 2 days too late, then I guess double the apologies. But as it was described to me, he just hadn't had a chance to fully sit down and vet the situation and didn't want to come across, you know, like he was throwing his guys under the bus without having had a chance to talk to them as to what in the heck they were thinking. Because normally, these would be the three guys he trusts more than anybody on the whole team. And there's a reason why they're captains. So clearly not the best plan to motivate their fellow Jayhawks, but I think Coach Beatty was able to right those wrongs last night on Hawk Talk. If you didn't hear that, you can check out the podcast on KUAthletics.com, because he had some really strong words about the type of ambassadors they try to develop and the type of young men they try to raise one at a time, and says don't judge these three guys by that one act, and at the same time it's nothing they would ever tolerate here at KU going forward.
Dorrance Armstrong, Daniel Wise, they did not talk to the media afterwards. At least I didn't see that they did. But Joe Dineen, I give him credit. He usually talks to the media after the game. He seems pretty honest. And it's interesting because he said they were using it for fuel. But at the same time, he talked about how, yeah, we know that Baker's emotional and that, you know, maybe we can get him fired up too much, was kind of what he was saying, which was an interesting ploy. And it kind of worked for a while. Baker seemed to be off his game, and then he put it together. And then, like I said, two wrongs don't make a right. So let me ask you this. Baker Mayfield is he's not going to be the captain at the West Virginia game, senior day for Oklahoma, and it seems like that's affected him quite a bit. He was very emotional yesterday when discussing that. So was his head coach, Lincoln Riley. He will not start the game either. Are there any repercussions for the captains, Armstrong, Weiss, and Dineen? Will they not be able to be the captains the next game, or will it just be one of those things where they handle eternally and they'll still go out for the pregame coin toss on Saturday?
Well, Coach Beatty has his press conference today coming up at, I guess it would be 1:30 this afternoon. And so if they decide that there's something that they want to announce, and it's not simply, as you termed it, an internal handling of this, then I'm sure he'll get asked about it and announce it at that time. You know, we're both God-fearing Christians, and we're told that not only did two wrongs not make a right, but that, you know, all sins are, you know, looked upon the same way. I'm not sure those two acts can be, though. I think what Baker did personally was way more intense. Now, again, that's not to say that, you know, anything was justified based on, you know, what one team did or the other.
Sure.
But, man, you know, if Oklahoma felt the need to not start him this week and not let him be a captain, good for them. I think Lincoln Riley handled that really, really well. And there may be a similar punishment, but I don't know that it needs to be as severe, you know, because we're talking about certain curse words and gestures that you wouldn't want to see on a TV screen. And while some might argue that, you know, the lack of sportsmanship by not extending a hand is an equally bad thing to teach a kid, and there were a couple of kids standing right there, To me, it was a much more egregious act what we saw that happened on the field. So, sure. and on the opposing sideline. And I'm sorry if that's not a popular opinion. I just kind of feel like it's apples and oranges. So we'll see if Kansas feels the need to do something. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did, because that's the type of guy David Beatty is. But I think those were two disappointing acts. But to me, and again, it's just one man's opinion, one seemed a little more severe than the other. And maybe by a little, I mean a lot.
Well, and then the argument, of course, for Oklahoma would be like, well, if KU didn't do what they did, Baker wouldn't have done what he did. And I would argue back, I understand that viewpoint, but I would counter that argument with somebody's got to take the high road. And Baker could have done that, and Baker did not. And beyond that, he made it all. He could have been yelling and been upset, but then to do all the gestures he did was just way over the top. And he's got to know I know he's still a young guy, but he's not a freshman. He's got to know the cameras are on him, and so he's being punished for it, and rightfully so. Okay, let's talk about the game coming up against Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State and KU Saturday, final game for the seniors for KU. One final chance to pull off an upset win and get a Big 12 win, and of course snap that long road losing streak as well for the Jayhawk football program. Oklahoma State coming off a loss against the Wildcats at K-State. All three losses for Oklahoma State this year have been at home at Stillwater, and early kickoff coming up on Saturday. KU, what can they do to be effective against Oklahoma State?
Well, I think they got to find a way to move the football. It's been really strange to see the ups and downs, ebbs and flows of this offense's recent struggles. You referenced the 21-yard performance at TCU, and they've kind of been on again, off again, on again, off again with the way the offense has gone this season and the up and down nature of things. You go back to the Baylor game, which was one of those really curious days where Carter was just a little bit off. After the previous week, we thought we had it all figured out versus K-State. So you go from TCU with 21 yards to suddenly 461 yards more the following week than you had the previous week. Then, back in the tank versus Baylor. Then we thought we had it figured out versus Texas with a couple of touchdown drives there that were in meaningful minutes of that game, three total for Kansas in that game. And you felt like, okay, now we're back on the uptick, and then it just completely goes away against a defense that statistically was actually behind Kansas in most categories entering that week and had a lot of youth that they were starting in the secondary. And that's not to say that Kansas should have been able to move it up and down the field on these guys. They're still Oklahoma. They're still mostly four- and five-star guys. But really felt like Kansas would have more success than what we saw. And so really going back to that TCU game, it's been off, on, off, on, off, on in terms of this offense, up, down, up, down. And want to finish on an uptick because you're going to have to. No matter how good the defense plays, OSU in their house is still going to get at least 35, you would think. It's just, the nature of that offense. Mason Rudolph's had a terrific year. He's a future pro. David Beatty puts him just a notch below Baker Mayfield in terms of the great quarterbacks Kansas will have faced by the end of this season. Justice Hill's an electric running back. And, boy, you look at their receivers, man, with everybody they can trot out there from Washington to Aitman. I mean, the size, the speed, there's big playability. It's a really impressive group. And so, to me, for Kansas, this will be one of their stiffest tests all year. And the defense, as I've mentioned to you earlier, I think there's now five games you could point to this season where the defense played well enough to win, and Kansas only won one of those games. I'm not saying the defense goes down there and stymies Oklahoma State like they did in the first half versus Oklahoma, because I think it'll be tougher to do in their house. But let's point out that, for all the talk about what happened in the pregame and trying to get Baker off his game, that was the worst half of football in terms of yardage thrown for that Baker had in over 2 years. 105 passing yards, and some of that was the wind, but a lot of that was Kansas heating him up and lighting him up and getting in his head a little bit. And, yeah, it didn't sustain throughout the full four quarters, but let's call it like it is. That defense was back out on the field a minute and 15 seconds later, it seemed like, every single time, because there was one three and out after another. But at the end of the day, they forced seven punts out of Austin Seibert, most he punted all season. It was, I think, 131 yards shy of what Oklahoma typically averages, and they led the nation entering Saturday in total offense. So this defense did enough to win, absolutely. They got enough stops that if there was any type of progress coming on the other side of the ball on that day, it might have been a different game. Now, you might say, come on, Brian, they lost by 38. I'm not saying KU would have won, but I'm saying entering the fourth quarter, you're talking about maybe a two-score deficit and a much more doable, realistic possibility that has the crowd fired up and all of that if they were able to match, punch with counterpunch. If not matching 7 for 7, at least getting 3 a few more times. But this offense, for whatever reason, was stuck in the mud. And so I don't anticipate the defense having quite the day in Stillwater that they did versus Oklahoma in Lawrence. But if they can get a little more help out of the Kansas offense, like we saw in Austin when KU outscored Texas in the second, third, and fourth quarters 20-14 and absolutely outplayed them for a good chunk of that game. But you got to do it for all four quarters, and you can't do it every other week. And I think that's been really frustrating for this coaching staff right now over the second half of this season, that half the time we see what's indicative of what we've come to expect out of them offensively, and the other half of the time it's a head-scratching day of frustrating stop after stop. And clearly they like some of the personnel they have, but they'll be searching for more quarterback depth heading into next season, and you may see a different signal caller out there to start next year. They like some of the guys they have up front offensively, and that's where Coach Beatty says, a winning offense is really built and ultimately won. But it clearly has not gone the way we thought it would go in this first season of the Doug Meacham era. Hopefully it finishes on an uptick coming up on Saturday.
KU at Oklahoma State this Saturday. You can listen to it on Z96.3 The Lake. Brian will have the call on the Jayhawk Radio Network, kickoff slated for 11 a.m. And Brian's appearance here on the Sports Ticket brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. All right, just quick impressions of KU men's basketball, now ranked third in the top 25. With the latest poll, they have Texas Southern tonight at home, and then Friday they host Oakland, Tuesday they host Toledo, and as you mentioned, they'll have Syracuse coming up there in early December down in Miami. But what jumped out to you? What were your impressions of the win over South Dakota State, a team that made the tournament a year ago?
Yeah, back-to-back tournament teams for South Dakota State, and they've got a guy that's a future NBA pro in Mike Dom, who's already scored over 1,400 career points in two seasons, and he absolutely, I think, will be a first-round pick, if not this year, the next. And they really stymied him early. He was just 2 of 8 in the first half, picked it up in the second half, but, I mean, the damage was done at that point. We saw Kansas rack up 19 assists before they ever committed their first turnover. Didn't have a turnover at all in the first 20 minutes. So it was one of those performances where if there was anybody questioning the offense and the firepower after a 65-61 grinded-out win over Kentucky on Tuesday, boy, we saw him hitting on all cylinders on Friday night. And, Svi goes for a career-high 27. Udoka matches his career-high with 17. You had LeGerald Vick one off a career-high with 22. It was just really efficient, really explosive, and what you expect to see. And somehow, some way, Svi was not the Big 12 Player of the Week. It's a different five-person panel that votes on the Big 12 Weekly Awards. I've been a part of that in the past, so I shouldn't criticize him, but they went with an Iowa State Cyclone, Nick Wyler-Babb, that averaged 16-8 as they beat the likes of Milwaukee and Boise State and who else was in there? I'm trying to think. Appalachian State. Mm-hmm. They played four games in the week, but Kansas beat the number 4 team in the country in Chicago in the biggest early season showcase of any, and then beat an NCAA tournament team, and Svi averaged 22 a game. So to me, I thought that was a travesty he didn't get Big 12 Player of the Week. That's as aggressive and assertive as we've seen him offensively, and you hope he can bottle up and contain that and continue it on the floor, because I'll tell you what, that guy driving the ball downhill, picking gaps to be aggressive with the drive, but also then getting more separation on the three, because you got to expect and respect his explosive first step. That's a guy that can light some teams up. And you and I talked about that on a previous report, mm-hmm. just maybe even last week, about how there were going to be games where he'd put the team on his back. Yeah. There's a whole week where he did for Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk.
Well, he's off to a good start. Hopefully he can keep it going. All right, time for an off-the-wall question. Brian, Thanksgiving is Thursday. What's your favorite Thanksgiving Day food item? What is something you can't resist that you need seconds of?
I would put my mother's mashed potatoes and gravy up against anybody's in the world. And that's obviously a little bit biased, but I've had some pretty amazing mashed potatoes at like Ruth's Chris and other fancy places. I'd still take my mom's, and I think it's because she puts in an insane amount of butter in there. But it's creamy and delicious, and I'd put them up against anybody's. So for me, love stuffing, love pumpkin pie, but there's no topping Mama Haney's mashed potatoes.
I like it. Excellent answer. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday, Brian.
Hey, sorry for the phone issues earlier. And by the way, I am a Heisman voter, and I think Baker's the best player in the country. I don't think it's close.
Yep.
It's just disappointing when you see what happened on Saturday, and it really has to make you stop and take pause before you just automatically fill his name in on the ballot when part of the creed of Heisman voters is integrity. So that's something we think about. But I tip my cap to him as a player because I don't think there's a finer one in all of college football.
That's a good way to end it. We appreciate the time, Brian. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Every week brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.